You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
You will get your beloved show back in a couple of days, but this is right here, Mike, proudly a safe space for Heat fans to again resume being able to watch sports. Because if you care unreasonably about tying up your identity in the only sports team that's mattered here for 20 years and has had you in fights for 20 years in trying to own the conference, this team is something you care about unreasonably, and you could not watch yesterday, and you could not watch anything. I don't know if you watched the post-game press conferences. Chris, did you, after you wrestled the vending machine in the media dining area during halftime in a way that I still can't believe was, it is the single best thing to happen the entire Eastern Conference Finals, to look up at halftime and see a room full of media members looking at Chris Cody, who had just gotten done with the red velvet cake and was now in a too tight shirt wrestling a giant freezer that he could not open, that I could not tell whether it had ice cream or just simply sugary drinks. But he distracted.
This is all just asked if I watched the post game. No, Dan, I didn't. Thank you for that setup. I looked great, by the way. I looked like a professional.
Too tight of a shirt.
Hey, really? Geez, too tight shirt.
Red velvet cake? Where'd that come from?
Sorry, I didn't get the skateboard memo.
Tony, it's good to hear your voice.
Aloha, Dan.
Again. Tony has arrived. God. Yes, he's arrived full Hawaii. He's got a shirt down to the navel.
Wait, this is Chris not getting the skateboard
memo? That's here.
Memo?
I have the skateboard memo. At the arena that night, I didn't have the skateboard memo that Dan had.
Tony is a Detroit Tigers cap away from looking like Magnum P.I. right now.
Yes, ooh. He looks totally ridiculous. He came in here. It's a good look. Okay, well, Miami dresses down, and he looks, yes, a bit like a Hawaiian, yes, a CBS hunk who solves crimes.
He also looks like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That he does.
He has been away for many weeks on a Hawaiian vacation. He has brought some Hawaii with him. And if you're anything like us, Tony, when you're away from the microphones for 3 weeks, you've got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things. So welcome back.
It's great to be back. The vibes are immaculate. They'll only to be copy and pasted here with this kind of Elo shirt, Hawaiian style. Everything falls apart when I leave. Everybody gets COVID. Like, the entire AC system falls apart here. People are sweating. Billy's calling me out. There's a reason why he's not here today. Obviously, coward, evil cat. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah.
Cody doesn't know that he's not here today.
What did
he still thinks he's in one of the corners of the room.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, you know what you did. I joined Mystery Crate at 6 in the morning because I missed being around the team and stuff. You give me, but you're the one that texted me. Anyways.
You like the attention. I saw you put out a Michael Jordan-type press release. Yeah. I hope you're returning to the show.
That's
today.
Right. I was back. Was I'm well, back today.
Can you guys, seriously, Tony overestimates in a way. Tony, when he came over to Meadowlark, I think he thought that ESPN was going to like have taken a mortal blow and that everybody was super excited about Tony's return. And I feel like Tony did, upon returning from a Hawaiian vacation, he sent out the Michael Jordan I'm back press release.
That's right. Yeah, contact people if you want any information on that for bookings and other things as well. I do parties, bar mitzvahs, all that stuff. The more important part is, right, I'm on vacation. I'm hanging out in the Hawaiian sands, Kaanapali, beautiful beach, okay? More to that, you know, more to that to come. I get messages, I get DMs, I get texts. Hey, the guys are talking about you're on this four-week vacation. People are saying that you just got here. By the way, I've been here for a year, never taken a day off. The entire year, minus the 2 weeks that I'm allotted. Oh, by the way, we have unlimited vacation here, by the way. I just took 2 weeks, that's all. And I'm buttoning another.
It's been a very long time, Tony. You've been gone a long time.
I have, and a lot of things changed. And more importantly, you know what? The vibes weren't right, and I felt it all the way in Hawaii, and that's why I'm here, to make sure that everybody's back together as a family.
Did you get the Ricky Weed video?
That'll be out this week.
Seriously?
Yes, and I spoke to the Cuban pilot. That'll also be out this week. Wow. I've also got a set of Tony's Hawaiian weekend observations ready to go.
Wow.
My roll's out too.
All right.
I was also on a plane for like 12 hours, which sucks.
Yeah, Hawaii's far.
Not only far, Dan, there was really bad weather on Sunday. So we were about to land. We were 20 minutes away from landing. I felt the plane starting to descend. All of a sudden, the pilot comes in. No Cuban pilot, by the way. A regular American pilot. He was like, yeah, we're going to have to go back to Tampa because the airport shut down. So we had to stay in Tampa for 3 hours. Whew. I finally got home. So put it this way. I got into the plane 10:30 Friday night.
Mike, he's just beginning with his flight. This is just the material on his flight.
No, this
is what I'm telling you, because he has been steaming for 3 weeks. He's been
steaming longer than that, Dan.
Thank you, Steve.
Wow.
He's been on a romantic vacation with his wife that does seem like it was very long because he was very tired of not securing the Ricky video that he was sent to the Super Bowl for. And he had a lovely Hawaiian vacation, and we're just now on the portion because he also has promised more. He said more on that in a minute. We're just at the flight portion of his observations. Tony's backed up for 3 weeks. If I get out of the way right now, he will steam bad opinions all over our show for a full 18 minutes uninterrupted.
Let's hear him.
I don't know about bad opinions. I was actually starting reverse, right? It was more of like an inception kind of thing. I'm starting at the end to then go back to the beginning. So
you're quite the storyteller.
Yeah, thank you. Like you are. Please give me a break. So I'm tired of Billy.
That's why it's funny. Well, you're tired of Billy. I'm tired of both of you. Look, Billy's delighted because he's not here. All he's done is just shit on the show from over there.
When you're tired of Billy, he's got you right where he wants you.
Look at him. I've never seen
you're
him.
You're on
right
the ropes
there.
Now, my
he's
friend.
Billy, how do you feel?
You got the switch.
Billy, how do you feel so far about Tony's performance coming in hot off vacation? We threw him the show. He grabbed the ball and he shat himself in the key.
Well, we went over, we kind of just glossed over the fact, because you mentioned like when Tony got here, the whole situation. I don't know that we've told the story that when we had that 24-hour marathon, Tony planned this whole block where he was going to do this big reveal and dress like Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like this giant moment in the marathon. And everyone was kind of like, wait, what is this now? Like, we have to plan something else. And he was like, no, we have to have my big reveal. And then eventually we were just like, Tony, buddy, no one cares, all right? We'll be fine. You're here. Thanks for coming. But
I also had a job to do, and I was in the back video editing for like 24 hours straight, Billy. Yeah. As you went home, I recall.
you guys had mentioned
a week old baby.
Oh, give me a break.
Wow.
Oh, please. Anyways, the flight. The more important thing is the flight, right? So on the way back, Saturday night, 10:30 at night. I'm getting on a plane, red eye to LA, LA to Miami. I get in the plane. It's 6:30 in the morning. I land in LA. We have a 2-hour layover. It's 8 in the morning. I don't leave the plane till 9 o'clock at night. So that's that.
What's the point of this?
Good story.
To piss you off.
Tony, how do you come flying in off a vacation to rescue the show heroically wearing a Ric Flair boa and just put a shit streak stain across the front of Big Suey?
Well, that was more for the freedom thing, the Ric Flair boa thing. And then obviously some stuff happened. I didn't want to do the Ric Flair thing. You know,
welcome back.
Thank you.
The first one can be rough after a week off. 1 week is usually
flying.
Tough.
What are you talking about?
I mean, he's actually doing fine for like.
Wait till you hear the observations.
This moves fast, man. You leave for 1 week,
Chris. I don't think your father.
And he's
okay.
Flying. He just detailed a 2-hour flight delay.
Well, no, the flight. No, that was a layover. The delay was like 5 hours.
Explain it again.
Oh. My mistake.
Yeah, it was a good story.
Tell it again so I can get every bit of it.
Nah, I'll tell you later.
What'd you do on the layover? Just curious. Hey, Tony, when you buy a shirt without buttons. What's the markdown on that? You get like 20% off?
I got this one for free. Yeah, free.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
While you're thinking about it?
I am. It looks good. I don't think I could rock that look.
Chris Cody, we get your father in a state of disrepair when he hasn't done the show in 2 weeks. He, you may have noticed in the first hour we were talking local sports. He is a Miami Herald, Miami Heat legend covering the sport a long time journalistically.
He didn't even have a seat for game 7.
Yes, the show.
That's a long story.
He wanted the Heat season to end. He wanted the Panthers season to end. He was at a cruise. He's saying it's very hard work after being at a cruise when the basketball season started and when one of the big games was playing. He was at a concert and was bragging about it. Couldn't be bothered to cover it. Greg Cody, the show was thrown to him in the local hour, and he stared at me, and he hemmed and he hawed, and he didn't have a single thing to say. He just stared at me and said, "That's right." Doesn't know where Billy is. The show's moving fast. He thinks Billy's in the room. Billy's not
kind of thing. I said plenty in the local hour, or whatever it was, the first hour of the local hour. You know, you guys put out about 40 podcasts a day. I don't know what I'm on, but I feel like I talked a lot. I really did. My voice almost went, which is why I got to budget my speaking. But I talk plenty in the local hour. And in terms of taking game 5 off, I made the right call. I saw Sir Paul McCartney in concert. Excellent concert. He's about to turn 80. He's just terrific. He really is. And the Heat took a big that night, so I made a good call.
Good night to take off. You're
it
right.
Really was.
I mean,
was
the Heat took off too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw the Heat players at the McCartney concert sitting right next to me, which is why they lost by 30 points.
There it is.
It was unbelievable.
Sure, they were all there. Yes, Udonis Haslam, and yes, they were all there. Tyler Herro was there,
right
next to you.
Exactly.
Again, Greg Cody's exhausted from this rigorous playoff run where he judges how injured players survive, and he missed part of the playoffs on a cruise and missed one of the key games while at a Paul McCartney concert.
Correct.
Those tickets couldn't have been worth how much they cost. I mean, let's be real.
Well, my wife takes care of all that stuff. But I don't feel the least bit guilty about that, you know?
Okay, you don't have to feel guilty, but this part you might feel guilty about because your son has noticed, as have others, because people are tweeting the show. Man, Greg Cody on this show sounds like he doesn't have any idea what he's doing. But then he goes on Tony Kornheiser's show. And he sounds so professional, no coughs, no snorting, no bad sounds. He sounds like a professional broadcaster who is the best version of himself on somebody's show that's not ours. We have not been able to reach Greg Cody for 2 weeks because he's been so busy covering the playoffs while on a cruise and at concerts.
Yeah, and ill.
But he went.
And on the Kornheiser show.
But he went on the Kornheiser show, and evidently, Chris, he killed it, correct? He just murdered it. Everyone says that's the best I've heard Greg Cody be at any time during the pandemic.
It's just really his lack of awareness where I missed 2 Levitard shows in a row. Let me tweet out the day after that promoting my appearance on Tony Kornheiser.
Hey, I love me some tea corn. I really do.
Oh, Jesus.
He's really good.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because I think you were
right, though.
Last
he's
week.
Right.
I mean, he can't do a radio appearance just because he missed a couple of shows here. I mean, he's working hard.
Thank
he's on
you.
Two beats, you
right.
know? Yeah.
I mean, Tuesday, I woke up. I was not feeling well. My voice had left me. By the time Kornheiser calls, I'm feeling well, so I agree to do the show. He's a gracious host. He asks me, tees me up for sports questions. He gives me plenty of time to answer, and I appreciate that.
Is that a shot at Dan?
No, not at all. But also, I'm reeling Kornheiser into my own Greg Cody Show podcast.
He's never going to do
it. He's going to be a guest very soon. I'm reeling him into the big GCS.
Home and home.
That's right, little home and home. He's a big get. He's a whale.
We've gotten him one time, I think, in 10 years. Well, we're not getting him on the Greg
Cody. I bet you Greg gets him. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Greg's always there for him.
I'm always there for him. Yep. The money's on me at this point. So I'm reeling him in. Tony, if you're listening, we'll be in touch with you. I'll have one of my production staff be in touch with you, and we'll see you on the Greg Cody Show soon. It'll be fun. I'm not going to ask you about, Wilbon. I'm not going to ask you about Levitard. I'm going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. You'll enjoy it. Look forward to it. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Do you think the show is an answering machine message? Like, you think that Kornheiser, I don't understand.
He's listening?
If he's listening, yeah.
Yeah, right. He listens.
You just left.
He made a request, Dan.
Instead of calling
was it
him.
Was he dictating a text?
No, what I'm telling you, Chris, is your father has not, this is my point. He doesn't know where he is or where we are. He doesn't know if he's in a world where he's leaving a voicemail or he's on the show. Like,
he sounds great today, though.
Thanks, Billy.
He comes in bombing on vacation. You saw what it, oh my God.
Yeah, it was a little rough. I thought I could reach that note, but I couldn't.
You were getting confident. Yeah.
You want to try the Ric Flair woo again?
Like, so I'm at a Panthers game.
Careful.
Woo!
Okay.
Is Mickey in there?
Eisner!
Oh, God.
I know. We're coming back.
That's sick Mickey. I
mean, yeah.
Marge Simpson. Sicky.
Marge Shot.
Marge Shot? What?
Sound like Marge Simpson.
Oh, for the love of God. Anybody but Marge Shot, please. God rest her soul. But not really.
Not really.
Okay.
No,
there
not really.
Thanks, Roy. Thank you. God the server.
You needed some backup there?
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. God rest her soul, but not really. You know, and I don't think there's ever been anyone in sports that I could say that more definitively about than, that was the racist owner that was sort of into Nazism before we took quainter forms of racism in Donald Sterling's team.
Right. She was ahead of her time.
She was a pioneer.
Yeah,
she really was. Woman was collecting Nazi paraphernalia, and she owned the Reds.
Is Sterling next in terms of people you don't care if they rest in peace?
I mean, he is next in sports. Rest in peace, but not really. Let's do this at Levitard Show. What's the top of the list? Because I think that Greg Cody just closed the game because you can't say it about a lot of hers in sports.
I mean, Art Briles, technically, he's already there, but I mean, no one's going to care if he rests in peace, right?
God rest her soul, but not really. You want her soul to be restless, jostled throughout the eternities.
Yeah, exactly. She's earned it. What did I just say?
You think that her bone structure, when it lived in its vessel on this earth, when that soul departed, instead of resting in peace, you think it should go through the eternities and get shaken and stirred and reminded, hey, back when it was a skeleton, Marge Schott was racist, and you deserve to have this follow you through the beyond.
That's correct. I mean no ill of any person, but in this case, I'll make an exception. Thank you, Jeremy.
Can you imagine?
I appreciate that.
Can you imagine
that? Was
that
Billy.
No, it wasn't. It was Jeremy. It's like when you tell a joke as a stand-up and there's one person in the back laughing. Mm-hmm. You want to take that guy to dinner.
And then you say another person's name?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike, I want to see if I can lure you here into anything Browns related as football season is going to get here quickly.
And 100 days away, Dana.
We're already arguing. We have dueling propaganda between the video team of the Dolphins and the video team of Tyreek Hill so that everyone can have an opinion on whether or not Tua is underthrowing Tyreek Hill already. We are going to be starved for the football stuff in a second. But Jarvis Landry, who I was surprised to see, already at the Bet Your Career deal, 1 year, $3 million incentives. New Orleans, don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. Okay, is this going to be the end of Jarvis Landry battering his he's betting on himself one season. And for some reason, he has put up on his Twitter account, is it Godfather photos? Does anyone know what the soap opera elements of this as it ties to the Cleveland Browns and him leaving the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield feeling like his body didn't buy him anything in Cleveland and the whole thing disintegrated, right? It was going to be Jarvis and Odell and Baker and they were going to reinvent the proud Browns and then Odell ends up a champion somewhere else. Jarvis is grinding out the end of his career and Baker's no longer welcome there and their quarterback situation is now Deshaun Watson and he's going to play in New Orleans with the rest of his career.
I'm looking at what you're talking about right now on his social media. The scene from The Godfather, I knew it was you.
Yeah, the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah, so who's a Fredo here? We need a worldwide WAB investigation. Not sure what he means by this. Could be the agent that he fired because he was not happy with the off-season market. He had an opportunity to go back to Cleveland. It was on a one-year discount. I guess harder to take that one-year prove-it deal for the team that you feel like you've proved it for plenty. So now he's in New Orleans, where he played college football, and that's that. He's a remarkable player when you look at his statistical output. He got off to one of the greatest starts in NFL history at the position, but now it's kind of seeming like his body's starting to wear down a little bit.
But let me ask the group and the people who have been tired of the Cleveland Browns dominating a news cycle when we needed to talk about football the last few years after laughingstock, then expectations. Here come the expectations. And what gets with Odell Beckham's arrival in Cleveland that makes them now pivot to questionable, at best, moral choices is the bridge from laughingstock to mediocre, but with expectations, the bridge to that ground up to bits the bodies of Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, and Jarvis Landry, like Joe Thomas, too, somewhere in there. But just the bridge, it was a little bit before, and Joe Thomas did a lot of the losing, but the bridge to wherever winning resides at the other side of we laugh at your legacy, like those three bodies got torched by the all of it. And the Cleveland Browns are probably going to be better this year, but the bridge to something better was those three bodies. And I wouldn't blame Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield for being really bitter about like, oh man, do you remember what it was before we got here? Like we made you matter and it crushed us to dust, but we couldn't support anything at the end. Baker was playing hurt. Jarvis is trying out there with his body and all we've got is $3 million in free agency.
Yeah, and the one that they were only interested in really bringing back, even though Baker's still on the roster, was Jarvis, but at a very stark discount. That's a business of football. There's plenty of other teams that do it that don't get that much shine. They had a lot of expectations. The only time they ever seemed to perform was when there was a recalibration of expectations. They lulled you into thinking, well, no, they're actually bad, and then they would put together their best streak of football. I'm rooting for Jarvis. I think he's a good guy. I think he's got good football left. He's one of these guys, a precise route runner, does stuff after he catches the ball, that I think he can end up having a long career if he finds a way to stay healthy. Last year was kind of an outlier for him. I'm rooting for him, even though I'm not rooting for the Browns.
But that phrase, if he finds a way to stay healthy, like we've kind of seen what he's doing. We all know the transaction that Jarvis Landry has made with his body over 10 years of largely meaningless football, correct? Like we know all the slices at the ankle, whatever it is that it requires to play that sport. We're all well aware that he's been grinding his bones to dust for another half yard for a long time.
But for the most part, he's there every week. I mean, he missed 4 games last year, and that was the first time in his career he's missed more than one.
But
so.
He shouldn't have been out there a lot. He was a shell of his former
But do you understand
self.
Why those guys would be bitter about trying to get the franchise at the very end over the hump? It was Jarvis. We ride or die together. And then it's Odell's dad saying, oh, my God, get us out of here. This is all bad, uncomfortable.
Jarvis had a huge hand in why this season turned out disappointing. He had a huge fumble against Pittsburgh in that home game that they had that Pittsburgh stole from the Cleveland Browns. And if they win that game, they have a shot against the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that they swept, to actually play their way into the postseason.
It's that fragile, man. Listen to all the ifs. It's that fragile, man.
He had a big-time fumble in a late drive, and it actually hurt Baker, the perception of Baker, because if Baker has that big comeback at the end.
Are you not fascinated that your team, that the margin for error...
It's not his team anymore.
It's really not my team. I was interested that you brought me to the microphone to talk Browns. I understand why you did it, but you might as well come to me and say, hey, let's talk Chargers. Because I don't care about this team. I talked about it extensively on Friday's Big Suey. It's why I feel the way that I do. Go for it, Jarvis. I'm actually kind of rooting against the Cleveland Browns this year. I think their fans deserve a winner. I think it'll be really weird for me if Deshaun gets handed a suspension and all of a sudden I got to see the same Browns without the problematic quarterback under center perform. I'm really interested to see how I perceive that, but I'm not rooting for anything good to happen to that franchise.
Billy, to feed your worst impulses as the show pivots into Donovan Mitchell land, why is Joel Embiid so publicly flirting with Jimmy Butler, with the mama, there goes that man? And
probably wants to be here. He's about the culture, obviously.
Is that what's happening? It's as simple as that? We're going to pivot to, well, okay, fine. Just put the end of the process over here. And Jimmy and Joel couldn't do it there. What are the pieces involved in that lure Joel? Just explain this to me. The pieces
involved.
How do
they get Joel Embiid? I think you trade Duncan Robinson.
Right.
And then you get Embiid. Or maybe you do a three-team situation where you get rid of Duncan and Oladipo. And then you bring in Embiid and Durant.
That should do it.
Okay. Yeah. And then look, I'm not Andy Ellisberg. He'll figure out the numbers of the situation. But I feel like you do that, maybe toss in a Kyle Lowry for sheets and gigs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the two guys that you need down here, and then you take the next step. Because we can agree, Dan, that they're close, but not close enough. Like, right. Jimmy can't do it alone. We learned that. He's great, but he needs something else. He needs more.
It seems like Dan wants to run it back, but I ask you this seriously. If you offer Bam and Tyler Hero for Embiid, does that get it done?
Please stop. Well, like, you need contracts that match up and not
you
these,
asked.
We're just not talking, these,
yeah, right. And I regret asking. I do.
You came to me. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was hopeful and trusting as I forever
but
am.
Then I gave
thinking,
you something realistic is what
exactly,
I tried to
me
do.
Too.
No, you have to make the contracts match up. I just thought, I'm curious because Mike Ryan actually cares about the things that he's saying and actually cares about this team. If you're pivoting to... I'm going to emotionally respond to changing the blueprint. And Joel Embiid is publicly flirting with you. And at every turn, him and Jimmy are wink, wink. We'd love to be together. You'd have to trade Bam and all the pieces you'd have to trade everything of value to put them two together. You can't get
Dan Lebatard shipping guys out of town.
Whoa.
Remarkable. Wow. It's a bad luck for you. It is. You have to see these faces. You go to that building.
Can we just appreciate what they just did, Dan, before you start trading everybody
away?
Yeah,
seriously. What's wrong with you, Lebatard?
Come on,
but
Dan.
It's funny to me that a team worried about injury issues now wants to trade for Embiid. That's funny.
Well, it's pretty unprecedented that you have a player on social media, even though he goes by Troel Embiid on social media, kind of given the optics that he wants to be down here. It's odd. I would say that Jimmy's also kind of sent up a flare that he wants to be with Embiid. The only thing that we know that's definitive, it's not that Embiid wants to be down here in Miami. It's that Embiid wants to be with Butler, and Butler wants to be with Embiid. So do with that what you will. In terms of Miami's roster needing reshaping, I don't think that Daryl Morey would do business with Miami in that respect unless he has no other choice. I do think that there is validity to the Bradley Beals, more so than the Donovan Mitchell, even though Donovan Mitchell has made it very clear he wants to get out of town too. And I think we're doing the Donovan Mitchell thing because we assume Utah is the type of place that would like Duncan Robinson at $19 million. Yes.
Duncan Robinson's contract is something that's I'm guessing that Mike Ryan has jettisoned, and this will be the last embers of our local season will be here as we transition into Tyreek Hill video propaganda. I love it. I really do love that as a story. The social media team didn't send out the right pass. It kind of had some wobble to it. Then Tyreek Hill, come on, you guys, this is practice. And then he sends out videos that are real sleek about balls not being underthrown. So I do want to transition into football and leave behind basketball.
Before we do that, Dan, I went to the trade machine and I have good news for you. Okay, so I was able to work out a deal in which Miami trades Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero to Philadelphia and gets Joel Embiid, and trades Kyle Lowry and Duncan Robinson to Brooklyn and gets Kevin Durant. And this is a successful trade. So you get Durant and Embiid, and you kind of trade away Bam, Tyler, Kyle, and Duncan Robinson.
Who says no?
Yes, Juju, go Brooklyn. Ahead. Put Basketball Insider Billy has reported that that trade is happening. Please just stamp that to his name.
It's successful with, trade.
A successful trade
machine.
Is being reported by Billy Gill of Dan Le Batard's show with Stu Gatz.
The salaries do match up. I'm just asking, if Doc Rivers feels like he's going to lose Embiid, yes. You can get go Bam ahead. For Billy. Embiid, don't you
excellent.
Do it?
I'm thrilled that the salaries match up. Billy is reporting. Reporting it publicly, please send it out into the sphere, and Billy will take whatever the casualties are from his dookie bomb, because he's reporting that they're going to get Durant and everybody that they want.
No, just Embiid and Durant.
Okay.
He dropped the dookie.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
I actually thought you looked kind of good.
Stu Gatz.
Thank you. The beard's grown out a little bit. I got a little life in my face, I feel like. A little tan. Colorado, San Francisco. I had a great time.
You got life on your face.
You've got death on your face.
I think you've got 40 to life on your face.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stu Gatz. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I really do want, though, from the group, I want you guys to hold my hand through as I learn in real time the details of what has happened with Gabe Kapler of the San Francisco Giants, because he was horrified by everything happening in America. From where I'm looking at it, and please fill in details for me, because there's some sensitive subject matter here. And I'm admitting on the front end that I'm purposefully coming into this conversation sort of bemused about, well, did what just happen? Is this what I think just happened? Which is that Gabe Kapler took his position 2 days too early, did not consider that Memorial Day was coming, and just went to his lifestyle brand blog and explained, well, I'll resume this in a couple of days after we've honored our military. Is what I think just happened, the shrapnel that takes out a Giants manager, is that he got close to where the Kaepernick stuff is because, hey, you know, we've stopped it. Kids slaughtered in schools. Now it's a controversial stand. LaRusse's out here saying, not in front of anthems and flags. Nope. You could protest whatever, but even kids getting slaughtered in schools, not in front of an anthem or flag. And Kapler sits it out. And before I get indignant on this, on how funny it seems, can you guys offer me details that suggest that it didn't happen the way that it looked like it happened, which is he's like, I'm going to not be a part of kids slaughtered in school. Oh, it's Memorial Day. Never mind. I'll stand back up. Check out my words on my lifestyle brand. I am beautiful, steaming, hunky man.
Really
I've got a lifestyle brand. I look like the leader of a team. This is how I lead.
You have to do that on July 5th, right? You have to factor in Independence Day as
well.
Is it
what happened, though?
I don't know.
Yeah. It was bad timing. Yeah. That's a bad look
he
for him.
He didn't think it through?
No.
He just got fed up one day and emotionally. Come on, you guys got to give me better details than that.
Why is that implausible? Yeah, he didn't think it through. He was emotional, like a lot of people were last week, and then he realized the optics of of doing that during Memorial Day were bad after the fact. Yeah, he did something emotional. That's how that kind of works.
Well, in lieu to his protests, he's also given money to a couple of charities. Everytown, which is an organization dedicated to ending gun violence, and to Heart and Armor, which focuses on veteran health.
Man, it's so crazy to me, though, that we would, you know, see kids slaughtered in school, and if anybody decided to kneel in front of a flag on that one, anybody, and just said, well, this is the reason. This country, when it comes to guns, slaughters kids in school more than any, and I want my politicians to listen to all of the polling data that suggests that Americans are all for, please stop slaughtering kids in school. We don't agree on anything, but we can get 90% on agreement on, as a country, we are not what we think we are if the slaughtering of kids in schools is okay by us. Like, it's not, we're the worst. We're the worst. We can't protect our young people. We're the worst. We're number one. We are the very worst in the world of we slaughter our kids and are okay with it. If anyone in sports decided to kneel on that, La Russa's still going to be out here saying not on the anthem, not in front of the flag? Like, we can all agree. Who disagrees? Like,
Tony
does. Find me the 10% that are – find me the 10%. And let me ask any questions of the 10%. That can say, yeah, I'm good with kids slaughtered in schools, innocents slaughtered, and I'm good with the idea that parents can send their kids to school, expect to get them back. And in America, it's less likely than anywhere else in the world that you're going to get them back safely because they can be slaughtered in school and our leaders are okay with it. As Americans beg and plead them through crying wails of stop killing our children to please fix the gun. Just whatever, gun safety, gun laws, whatever the language is, just fix the gun thing so that we can at least dilute the slaughtering of child blood on the country's hands.
So tired of the anthem debate. I just have no interest in it. Haven't had interest in it in years. Feel like I am burned up on all the anthem debate. I don't think anyone's mind is being changed. I find it to be kind of dumb. I respect the reasons for doing it. I don't think you invoke anybody to actually look at themselves and say, well, if Gabe Kapler took a knee, let me reassess everything. It's just not happening. And I'm so exhausted. I don't even want to talk about it, man.
I'm at the point where I'm just like, don't play the anthem anymore. And the Mavericks tried, because the state of Texas stepped in and said, you better.
Well, the Mavericks tried and also got away with it for several games before people noticed, because it's absurd that we play the anthem before sporting events. They should play the anthem before movies. They should play the anthem before concerts at this point. It is a weird exercise in mostly fake patriotism, and I'm just done with it altogether.
And if I told you the Heat players over the last 3 years have been in and out of the anthems in ways that have not been publicized, that your team has had several players in and out of the locker room every single time, that isn't about...
Certainly not consistent enough for anybody to really take notice, and people get all sorts of treatment. Robert Williams hadn't been out there for the start of a third quarter in I don't know how many games. I don't pay attention to the anthem when I'm there. Sometimes it's beautiful. Sometimes I don't want to take my hat off because I'm worried about my hairline. It's just, why are we doing this? It's a weird practice that we do. And sometimes it's roaring and I get to yell red at hockey games. And you hear a beautiful young lady that's like 15 years old sing her heart out. And it's a cool moment. But also, it's a tireless exercise.
But Mike, you just saw so many people just flooded to the movie theater this weekend in a way that I did not think was possible in 2022, because Tom Cruise, who has had his face since before Risky Business, changed into a movie star robot so he can still be box office. Tom Cruise and the idea of us wanting to believe America is something worth fighting for did 124 million nationally, 124 million internationally. In his great career, it's the first time that a movie has ever busted the box office at a time that it's harder than ever. And we've still got the tapes during the pandemic of him yelling at people in Norway because he's doing whatever crazy stunt he's doing, because the holding on to Hollywood at the end is important to him. We want to believe in the movie version of America. We still want to believe that flag is not what we think it's more and more representing. with every action or inaction that is greedy and lusty and gets filed under politics. I don't want to bore people with the anthem talk either. But, Mike, I do believe that in this space, it's the only place where you have it. And it's been contaminated from every angle by the politics of, I thought that flag represented something else. Didn't we all? I thought we all had the agreement on what that flag represented.
I have a U.S. flag outside my home. I'm very proud to be an American. I reflect while I'm having a great time in the pool with my family. I honestly do reflect that I am in part exercising freedoms that are afforded to me by uncommon bravery. I am so thankful of it. And I am already pissed off at what's going to happen because people are going to take what I said. Oh, he doesn't want to take off his hat during the anthem. It's just such a poisonous, toxic
because of your hair. It's just everyone can understand the insecurity of baldness, but I think...
But I just don't, like, it means so much to so many people, and you're not changing anybody's mind, and I haven't once been made to think in the last 5 years when it comes to an anthem debate. Not one. What's the opinion that'll change your mind, that'll make you view it through a different prism? Please, somebody tell me.
No, this is just what I would say over the body of work as we've lived it to all of you. Colin Kaepernick knelt in front of that flag and do whatever you will with the reaction after that. Just know that the flag that he was kneeling in front of as a black man, he viewed it as representing something different than a lot of other people who are not black while talking about police as a state armed militia using their muscle on behalf of the government to protect white people from black people ultimately. That is what he knelt for. He became a martyr. Now the Raiders try and prop him up because they got a bigot who's getting the emails leaked. But through our lifetime, you could be tired of it all you want. But that dude died on that hill. Whatever it is that you think that represents was not allowed to.
His career died.
Was not. No. Yes. His career as a football player.
Yes.
Died. And here yet still. Yes. We're all tired of the whack-a-mole on this conversation. But he forced us to have it. And it's why he gets to be a martyr that 30 years from now will be remembered differently than the time that we're in. Because he told us that flag, no, that does not represent to me what it represents to you. And I will use my free speech and you will not be able to handle it when all I merely do out of respect after consulting a Navy SEAL is kneel to show maximum respect for country and soldiers who have fought protecting what that was supposed to be for both of us.
But what are we talking about here? We're talking about Gabe Kapler deciding to go against his protest and standing for the anthem on Memorial Day. Now, where's Memorial Day? We're talking about military personnel sacrificing their lives and dying for the freedoms that we are all enjoying, right? One of the freedoms we're talking about is the freedom of protest. So I think Memorial Day would have been the perfect day for Gabe Kaplan not to stand during the anthem. That's just my opinion.
But he decides for only Gabe Kapler and what his lifestyle brand is. And all I tell you is the fire's still too hot for a manager who's got a lifestyle brand and doesn't need the money because he made plenty in his career as a player. And the fire's still too hot out there for some of them.
Look, it's not Colin Kaepernick's fault, but we are a decidedly less good place to be living in. It's just, I am so exhausted by the flag debate that it got, while Colin... You could maybe read into his initial mishandlings of it, but I believe in the reasons why, ultimately, he decided to protest the anthem. And it got everybody's attention, and it also spiraled off into the dumbest debate ever. And we just now have a new generation of flag porn, to the point that if someone flies a U.S. flag on their car, I kind of have an idea of how they voted. And that's just how dumb we've gotten since Colin knelt. The flag became a symbol.
But we can't get so dumb, Mike, that you go to your knees with a groan and are just like, you know what? I'm tapping out on the entire discussion, even though I've just lived it. And through sports, the place we were allowed to have it, as we talk about the way that they grind the bodies to dust of Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham because the machine needs to keep moving, that football machine still has not welcomed him back. We're still having an anthem conversation. Tony La Russa, and it's close to 80, is still out here saying, protest anywhere, but not there, because that flag means something. It does is different to me than it does to Tim Anderson, perhaps my star player who I can't connect with because he's 50 years younger than me. And I'm still out here from the Glenn Beck rallies telling you that the flag is something that you shouldn't wipe your ass with recently because our behavior disgraces what it's supposed to purport to be about.
You're Dan Quixote. right now. You're tilting at windmill. You're not changing anybody's mind. We're not having an interesting conversation. It's the same dumb conversation that we've been having for years outside of some really productive conversations. And then we realize, oh, we're just got to double down and quadruple down on our own personal stupidity when it comes to this. I've spoken to several people that have shocked me with their opinions when it comes to the flag. It is too divisive of a topic for anybody to wrap their head around. It's a hard line that people draw. It is ingrained in their political beliefs. It is tied up in their identity, and there is no winning anybody over.
I hate that it's become such a political conversation, and I do think it's an important conversation. I honestly do, because it's so...
You're glad we're having it. Mm-hmm.
It's so
an important conversation. You're glad we're having it.
It's right? So intensely personal, and it is for me. I stand for the national anthem because I'm standing for the ideal of the flag and what it should be, not what it's become. That's just me. I respect people. I was pro Kaepernick the whole
way. But Mike is trying to push us off this as a conversation topic. He is saying,
Dan, have you ever looked around an arena or a stadium and see what people are doing while the anthem's being played?
Yeah, but Mike,
like Mike not taking his hat off. Yeah, there are people belching, taking selfies, putting in bets.
But Mike is saying none of this is new terrain. All of it is the same tired terrain. No advancement.
For the record, I did take my hat off, which at the time during the last few months was a personal sacrifice.
Well, my question to these people who are offended at these protests during the anthem, who feel like these protests are offending the troops, is what are you doing to help homeless veterans out there? Are you doing anything? Or are you just yelling at the wind? Are you yelling in the sky like, stop protesting?
I mean, what are people that are standing doing?
Thank you. Thank you. This is all so dumb.
I'm just saying, I'm with Mike on this. This is just such a divisive issue. This conversation, I'm just waiting for this conversation to be over.
On the 1 year anniversary of Bo Burnham's Inside being released, where he had a great bit where it was just, can we all just shut the f up? Just everybody, just shut the f up.
He said in a special that was the viral sensation of the pandemic.
Stop talking. I don't care. Just both sides. Just shut the f- up. That's where I'm at with this.
And now I'm scared. Did I say something offensive right there? I don't know. See, this is what we're doing. It's like this conversation. It's just like, don't step on any landmines.
Really?
It's a dangerous game.
It's all landmines.
Yeah. I mean,
Al Horford makes too much money to get him to the Heat next year, I think. Ooh.
That's a landmine.
We're back.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.